Tune in for Weekend Talk That Matters, only on KFNX.
Only 40 and a half days remain in the reign of King Obama, also known as Muzzy One, soon to be Muzzy None. It's the Article 5 Hour.
As my heart is beating, someone's gotta hate. It's never gonna change. Gets hotter every day. It's a hell of a place to keep your heart from freezing, to keep yourself believing. And I won't run, I'm not afraid. I look them in the eye, gonna hear me say it.
From the Midtown Phoenix studios of Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Welcome to the Article 5 Hour. I'm J.D. Smalis, your host. Well, we're here with lots of good guys in the studio tonight. But first of all, I want to talk to you about something. I want to talk to you about fake news. Incidentally, we're on Facebook Live and the Article 5 Hour YouTube channel. And you can also go to article5hour.com for podcasts of the show if you missed any. Anyway, like I said, thanks for joining us tonight. Fake news. That's what I want to talk to you about. Now, if you guys remember, I've told you that everything the progressives say is what they're doing. Everything they say the Republican Party is doing is what they are actually doing. And that applies to fake news as well. Now, let me unpack that a little bit. First of all, let's say 95 or 94% of the people that call themselves journalists are also registered Democrats. That is a statistical fact, okay? We also had, I forget his name, but one of the major New York Times reporters doing a front page story saying we're taking any pretense we had of journalism and throwing it out the window because it would be too disastrous indeed to have Donald J. Trump as president of the United States. Now, we all know that anybody that's paying attention realizes that these people that call themselves journalists have been doing this for decades. In other words, advocacy instead of journalism. But they actually admitted it this time. So what I mean by unpacking the statement that they are the fake news is because they are advocates. They are not there as an objective reporting vehicle to tell the people of this nation the actual truth about what's going on. They cherry pick what they want to report on, and then what they do is they take a little half of a factoid and build it into a story, the story they want to be portrayed by that factoid. And let me give you an example. The news of the day is that what is Donald Trump's response to the CIA saying that Russia is behind hacking our election in favor of Donald Trump? Talk about fake news. That is about as fake as it gets. First of all, nobody knows for sure who hacked it. Now, there's plenty of people in the CIA saying that there's Russian fingerprints on the hacking of parts of our election. Well, okay, but if they were, they didn't hack Hillary Clinton. Oh, they did hack Hillary Clinton's server, but they didn't leave any fingerprints there. But the same people hacked our election and left their fingerprints. Does that really make any sense? Are any of us stupid enough to buy into that? I'm not. So the most drastic thing you can do is have these people calling people with their smartphones that turn their cameras on and go live, capture a video of an event and post it on Facebook, and call those people fake news and call that fake news. Meanwhile, we listen to these talking head idiots on the television set lying to us about what's happening and calling everybody else that's saying anything about current events as the fakers. Well, shame on them. And we're all sick of it. And we didn't fall for it. The biggest purveyor of fake news is Hillary herself, trying to tell everybody that Benghazi attack was caused by a phony video. I wonder if they've let that guy out of prison yet, by the way. The guy that made a YouTube video in the United States of America got put in prison for it under the Obama regime. Talk about fake news. People died in Benghazi because they didn't want to admit there was terrorism going on right before an election. Which brings me to Barack Obama this week, telling everyone in the United States of America how wonderfully protected we are with him at the helm from international groups conducting terrorism in the United States of America. Fake news is what gave us Barack Obama and almost gave us Hillary Clinton. That's what fake news is. And Obama is the biggest faker of them all. He's the biggest phony that was ever put in a position of power in this whole world in the history of mankind, in my opinion. Anyway, this idiot, Obama, goes out there and tells everyone that we've been protected from international terrorism. They weren't successful in our country. Well, Mr. President, let me ask you this. The people in our country that were killed by terrorists under your watch, are they not dead? You damned fool. Nothing makes me angrier than listening to these lies from somebody who's supposed to be the president of the United States. During a week that we commemorated the 75th anniversary of one of the most tragic events in history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Those of you that are online can see me wearing my B-17 shirt in honor of World War II. You might also remember sometime around a year ago on this program, we had my good friend, Quentin Seiler, who was the World War II submarine combat veteran, one of the few people on this earth that has combat dolphins, was in this studio to speak to you. And we called his good friend up, Moose Horncole, who served under the sea, on the sea, and in the air in three different wars, who has passed away about 3 or 4 months ago. And we wish Moose Godspeed in his new existence. I believe he was 95 when he passed away. Great guy. I had the honor of meeting him one time. And he was on our airwaves about a year ago. Anyway, if you guys remember Quint, he's happy now that he's 97. Quentin is very happy that we have elected Donald J. Trump, and he has new faith in the American people. He was the biggest skeptic. He called it the generation with a word that I cannot say due to FCC rules, but it sort of has something to do with diarrhea. And he was surprised that we were smart enough to elect Trump, and he's overjoyed. So anyway, a salute goes out to Quint Seiler, because this is the week of the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And thank you for your service, Quint. Thank you, Moose. Godspeed to you in your new existence. And I just want to say that this fake president we have, and this fake news we have, calling everybody else that's actually doing reporting, calling that fake news. The whole upside-down world is just about to turn over with the year. Next January, after 40 more days of this assault on the American psyche, we're going to have an actual president that has America's interests at heart instead of the whole world against America, because, of course, we're in some kind of a privilege. We shouldn't take care of our own people for some reason. This perverted logic that has entered not just the White House, but it's permeated all levels of government. We have to weed it out root and branch, and I hope that Mr. Trump will do that. Anyhow, this terrorism that happened in Egypt, They attacked the Christians and killed them. You know, there's been plenty of that going on all over the world because there's no fear of retaliation from any government, especially the United States. We've shown nothing but weakness for the last 8 years. And frankly, the 8 years before that, we made a whole bunch of mistakes as well. And the 8 years before that, so did we. So it's been a long time in coming, you guys. So when we come back from this break, I'm going to introduce you to my panel and my special guest, J. Thomas Rompel from Tucson, who wrote a great book called Citizen Warrior, the Fourth Branch. And we're going to have him tell you all about that. I hope you stick around on the Article 5 Hour to talk to him and my panel. I'm JD, Live Radio Without a Net. We'll be right back after this.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
The politicians you love and the politicians you loathe. Read about them and write your own reviews about them at politicianreviews.com. There are literally review sites on the internet for just about everything, and today is your lucky day. Now you can read and rant about politicians and political candidates. The politicians you love and the ones you love to hate. politicianreviews.com. Your freedom of speech will always be respected. politicianreviews.com.
Log on and listen live. 1100KFNX.com.
All right. Uncle Ted Nugent brings us back to the Article 5 Hour. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm J.D. Smalis, your host. Tonight in studio with us is Tom Rompel, author of Citizen Warrior, the Fourth Branch, an action-packed motivational thriller and 5 stars Amazon review, and you are a best-selling Amazon.com author. Is that not right, Tom?
Yes, I've been there a number of times on the Amazon bestseller list.
Very, very good. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. And tell us about the book.
Well, I've been in Arizona. I arrived when I was a teenager, and I'm no longer a teenager. So I've been in Arizona over 50 years.
Right.
Living in Tucson. I've owned small businesses almost all my adult life. I also have a management coaching practice where I've coached business owners. And a business I was in... fairly recently, we dealt with law enforcement, military, special forces, border patrol, and over the years in dealing with that, I noticed a growing trend of things breaking down, particularly at the border. Contrary to, it's more secure than ever, according to Obama and his crew. It is wide open. I know it is for a fact. I know our border patrol agents. In any event, the creative part of me. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, an idea came to me. The number one responsibility, in my opinion, under the Constitution of the federal government, is to protect the citizens against enemies, both foreign and domestic. They have not been doing that for decades. It's gotten worse and worse. And in the last 8 years, in my opinion, they've been aiding and abetting the enemies. So
That sounds like treason to me.
Which one? Where they're not doing
aiding and abetting the enemy?
Yes, that is treason as far as I'm concerned.
And as far as I'm concerned as well. Continue.
Yeah, I know. So, in any event, Citizen Warrior, the Fourth Branch, is about an individual who happens to be, shows up on scene just by chance on a Black Friday, and... ends up there's a terrorist attack. He ends up saving the life of a retired Delta Force colonel and his family. The two become friends and soon learn of an elderly ranching couple who are being terrorized by our Mexican cartel. And the federal government, law enforcement have ignored their pleas for help. So these individuals decide to get involved to help them out. One thing leads to another. They find they discover a sinister connection between the cartel and ISIS and are drawn into a cross-country chase that is very heart-pounding, that goes right across the country into a major metropolitan city.
Indeed. And what a great, exciting book that was. I had the privilege of reading this copy you sent me some months back. Now, I found it fascinating, the character, Carter Thompson, the main protagonist in the book, had this moment of hesitation during the action during the action.
Yes.
And it touched me because back in the 90s, I had a not anywhere near as dramatic experience, but I was out at what we used to call the pit out here, target practicing, and there were some gangbangers type people, you know, a couple hundred yards downrange from me, and they decided to be funny to kind of shoot in my direction. So I was looking at where cover was and how I was going to get out of there with my skin, because there was five of them and they were drinking heavily and they had lots of firepower and it was just me. And I thank goodness for reading technical material, because I was able to confront these people and show them my firearm, saying, you know, this is pretty good. Oh, yeah, we heard you shooting that one. I actually pulled it out, but I didn't brandish. But that's how I got past them, got in my car, and got the heck out of there. So, but I could relate to that hesitation, because when the chips are down, how are you going to react? And that's
right. The reality is we may think how we're going to react. But in the moment of something that's happening, there's a adrenaline dump. You get tunnel visioned. You get something called claw grip with your hands. A lot of things happen quickly.
I thought that was the mention of the character that was well and very suspensefully, I might add,
thank you,
incorporated into the book, and I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you very much.
And you said there is a screenplay, or?
Yes, the screenplay was just completed. It's going to go out to the entertainment industry about the middle of January. They're waiting for the Christmas holidays and everything to complete. They are recommending two A-list actors for it. And so we shall see how that works out. I'm very excited about it. And it really, it's up to the company I'm under contract with. It'll be basically like an agent for me, and we shall see how that happens. So it was part of my intention when I wrote it. I discovered I don't write chapters, I write scenes.
Interesting. And, you know, I noticed how the page was structured. What's great about this book, too, I'll tell you guys, is it's structured that you can read on the run. You can read a couple of pages, and you'd be okay with that. Put the book down, come back to it, pick right back up where you were. It's structured that way to be able to read bits and pieces of it, and that's how I found myself having to read it until I got to the point of the story where I couldn't put the book down. I stayed up all night and finished the book.
That's great. Thank you very much for your comments.
Oh, yeah. And I thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us about your book. Now, you'll be with us the whole show, yes, so you're going to do some political commentary with us as well, right, Tom?
Absolutely. I'll kick in. And the book is inspired by true events, so you may have recognized a few things there that I, of course, are all fictionalized characters. But everything in there, I can tell everybody who's listening, that this is absolutely a scenario that could play out for us.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. And it was frighteningly realistic, in as much as, except for the main characters of the book, you can tell who you're talking about, even though you don't mention any names when it comes to our government officials and whatnot. Right. It was very skillfully done.
Well, some of those characters are actually real people that I am acquainted with and friends with, so that, you know, names have changed to protect the uninnocent.
Yes, indeed. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, actually. Did some of your characters in your book come from people that you actually know?
Absolutely.
And I see you've actually answered that question already, Tom.
And I'm on to the sequel. It's going to be interesting in the sequel, because I started before the election, not knowing who was going to become our president. Thank God it was Trump.
Thank God, indeed.
There's always consequences no matter what. So I'm underway in the sequel, and I intended this to be even more white-knuckling than my first book, and we shall see. Stay tuned. It should be out by late spring.
Let me get your commentary on what I said in the opening about this president going, having the gall to go in front of us and tell us that we haven't had a foreign or organized attack of terror on his watch. Did you find that as absolutely ridiculous as I did, let's say?
Well, my viewpoint on him is, number one, I believe he's a pathological liar. And I don't know about you, but he probably have, but we've all known people like that in life. I've had people I know, they'll tell me the sky is green, and I absolutely believe it till I step outside and discover it's blue. So number one, I believe he's a pathological liar. It's part of the culture. It's acceptable way of operating. I also believe that he's completely out of touch. He has been out of touch with what's really happening for 8 years. You know, the comment he made last week where he threw his intelligence officers under the bus and was stupid enough to say, well, it wasn't on my radar. Well, first of all, you got to turn your damn radar on to get something on your radar.
And if you turn the radar on, then you've got to be able to interpret the reading.
Yes, you got to be able to interpret. So
jeez,
that's my feeling on it. I'm with you. 40 days and counting. I can hardly wait. And then we start the task of hopefully recovering and rebuilding our country.
It will actually, in about 3.5 hours, be 39 and a half days we have to endure of the man-child that is our president, the unbelievably petulant man-child we have elected. It's like a nightmare. And then we finally elected Trump, and it's almost surreal. So thanks, Tom. When we come back from the break, we're going to introduce you to James Copeland and Gene Daly. We're going to go over some of the events of the week. And I'll tell you what, there is so many things to try and talk about in our radio program. That's why I don't even try. And my good friend, the D-Man, has expanded his show from 7 to 10 p.m. right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. Don't forget the Talkin' One Rockin' Radio Show with the D-Man, 7 to 10 on Saturday nights. And we'll be back right after these messages. Listen to the news, and we'll be right back at you, live radio without a net.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Indeed, holier than thou you are. And I'm talking about the purveyors of fake news who want to cram down our throats what we ought to think and see and feel. First of all, they put the camera on an individual like, let's say, Donald J. Trump. He says something, and then they have the gall to tell us what he just said and what it means, instead of us being able to make that determination for ourselves. This is the holier than thou aspect. We have a whole lot of people on the left like that. We have a whole lot of people in our universities like that. We have a whole lot of people, actually, frankly, in the Republican Party like that. So they're all in the same group. They're all the people that I call the establishment, and they all are holier than thou, and they all know better than you, my precious audience. And don't you believe that for 1 second. And so we're going to talk a little bit about fake news with everybody on the panel tonight. We're going to start with Mr. James Copeland, who, as you know, is probably the nation's foremost authority on political debate and speech. And he has written 7 books on the subject, 3 of which are still in print. He worked with the AAP as a debate scorer for 24 years. He's taught at various different universities. Good evening, James.
Good evening, J.D.
Now, what was your comment you were telling me on the break, how we're going to probably not agree on this subject? Go ahead.
Well, and we're not going to agree, because what you were talking about was fake analysis, where somebody from Fox or somebody from MSNBC interviews a politician and then reinterprets what the politician said to fit their own rubric. I'm worried about fake news, which is one step below the sub-basement of fake analysis. And that's the news that's recently in the media about the man that took the rifle into a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C., and fired off a couple of rounds because he believed a blogger when the blogger said that that pizza parlor was being used for child sex slaves in a ring run by Hillary Clinton.
So you don't believe that?
I do not believe it any more than I believe any of the conspiracy theories peddled in Oliver Stone's fine movie JFK, where he seems to run the gamut from people that were working for Fidel Castro to the right-wing Americans who thought Kennedy was too liberal to Lyndon Johnson, who wanted to be president, to Brown and Root, who wanted to save the money they were making in Vietnam.
Well, let me submit to you the idea that when it was just all the news was monopolized by the three major networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC, when they had everything to say about everything, that indeed was also fake news because they were the only outlet and they controlled every bit of news that we got. And that's even worse than having, let's say, some reports that may be questionable.
Well, we still disagree because I don't think that's fake news because it wasn't fiction. It was just slanted news. It was carefully selected news, but it was still at least had partially something that was really going on. I'm talking about fake news, like during the campaign of 1932, the whispered rumor in the mimeograph pamphlets that said Eleanor Roosevelt was a Jew and she was getting Franklin Roosevelt to go along with the Jewish conspiracy to seize the United States as part of a Jewish power grab. And JD, I have never asked you this question. I hope I'm going to get the right answer. Do you really believe the moon landing was a hoax?
Well, personally, I do not believe the moon landing was a hoax. I know plenty of people that do, and they were all born after it happened. I personally saw it happen in 1969 on a black and white television set in Maple Valley, Washington, and I was glued and transfixed by everything to do with the space race when I was a kid, and anybody that grew up in the 60s and saw that is not going to buy into the fake moon landing tripe that is sold on the internet. Now, you can, I don't know if that goes into fake news, but I do want to get Gene.
But there is a blogger in his pajamas in somebody's basement saying he saw the same thing you saw, and that was artfully filmed and crafted by Gene Daly's production company in a Hollywood studio.
Yes, indeed, as long with the flat earthers, Gene.
That's why I heard Jane's name before. That's it.
Let me introduce you to Mr. Gene Daly, who is the former Phoenix and other police departments, and also a Hollywood actor and a production company owner in the UK and other countries across the pond, the intrepid Mr. Gene Daly.
Nice to be back in town and nice to be with you, JD.
Now, let me let you respond to that, but first of all, I got to say to James, and there's also a big flat earth movement on the internet as well. Now, you can call that news, but that ain't news to me. Go ahead, Gene.
See, my problem with what James says is I have to be able to disprove what he's put out on the air. That is the problem with fake news. The other problem that I see is Hillary is jealous. Their fake news is getting more coverage than her fake news. I mean, you even forgot to mention the Serbia where she landed under gunfire and dodged bullets to get to her car.
Or the fact that she's named after Sir Edmund Hillary, who didn't climb Mount Everest until 6 years after she was born, by the way.
Of course. No, there's fake news, and your comment about the New York Times, that was put out by the editor. The editor of the New
York Times. Oh, that
was
the editor.
Put the column on the front page, says, we no longer care what's true. We want Hillary elected. I mean, he didn't write it in those words, but he couldn't stand the fact that Donald Trump was going to be elected. Or the newscaster who was on the debate and got so upset, the female newscaster who was on the debate and got so upset, who broke down crying the night of the election and couldn't go on with her broadcast. Yeah.
Raddatz.
So, I mean, we have a plethora of people who really don't fit the description of journalists, yet they're being paid and described as that on the networks. Of course, now, one fortunate thing, the ratings came out on Friday. Fox News is now doubling what CNN and MSNBC is doing combined.
So, before we pass it to Tom, let me just say that we have a Facebook comment that says, "Hey, JD, you ever dug into the secret space program?" I would say to you, Nathan Allen of Mesa, that I have, and this radio program is about 2 hours or 3 hours too early in the evening for that subject. So
and we're not in a concrete bunker out in the desert somewhere.
Let's pass this over to Tom Rompel.
Okay, I've got just one more quick comment. Some of the things that's worrying me, and I haven't read Tom's book yet. I'm going to read it over the weekend. It's very interesting from what I've seen on the back cover and the flyers that go with it. But since Election Day, Obama has appointed heads of different boards and commissions that must stay there for a minimum of 5 years. Do the laws that were passed back in the Reagan era when Reagan tried to drain the swamp. So what I'm going to advise Trump to keep about his mind is it's really, really difficult to keep in mind your original purpose was to drain the swamp when your ears deep in alligators.
Indeed. And now we'll get into that after the break. But I before we go over to Tom for his commentary on the fake news, I'll guess I'll give a little homage to Mr. Copeland about the fake news. We're probably arguing about semantics because fake reporting and fake news indeed are two different things. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I appreciate it. I believe, Mr. Copeland, I understand the distinction you're making, which is there is the misinterpretation or the spinning of the analysis of something.
Or the selective coverage.
Yes, to fit your agenda, whatever that might be.
Exactly.
And then there is just making up BS for the purpose of making up BS. You're just doing it. And it has become acceptable for many people, unfortunately, in the culture, that somehow that's okay. But I believe that's led by the media, and it's also led by such things as Benghazi and the video and so on and so forth. I really believe that when that occurred, particularly that for a few days it got away with that lie, it gave a wink and a nod to some journalists that may not have complete ethics in mind to go ahead and do whatever they want to do.
Well, it goes back to the Spanish-American War with yellow journalism. William Randolph Hearst basically started a war to sell newspapers, for crying out loud. So this is nothing new is the point. Final comments on the subject, James.
Well, it seems to me that what we ought to be thinking about is Gene's comment, which is absolutely true. Instead of proving your point, now people make up something and go on the internet and make you disprove it. And if you can't disprove it, they keep spreading it.
Yes, but it is the mainstream media that is in the business of doing that as well.
Well, I think the internet is also at fault because now anybody with a camera or a computer can say anything or write anything he or she wants and put it out in the atmosphere or out on the cloud, and somebody's going to believe it.
Well, that's where you have to use your brain, and I think freedom overrides censorship. So we have to figure a way to sort through this stuff on our own. After all, we are the adults in the room, and soon we're going to have adults in the White House and in Washington, D.C. as well, and that will be a welcome change in my view.
Tell you the way.
All right. We'll be right back with much more political commentary on the Article 5 Hour. I'm J.D. Smith, your host. Don't go anywhere.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
The politicians you love and the politicians you loathe. Read about them and write your own reviews about them at politicianreviews.com. There are literally review sites on the internet for just about everything, and today is your lucky day. Now you can read and rant about politicians and political candidates. The politicians you love and the ones you love to hate. Politicianreviews.com. Your freedom of speech will always be respected. Politicianreviews.com. KFNX.com.
Visit us online at 1100KFNX.com.
Mother, should I trust the president? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? Ooh, Mother, should I build the wall?
Ah, yes, all we are is just bricks in a wall, and Tom Rompel wishes there was a wall down on the southern border close to his home in southern Arizona to stop the flow of illegal drugs, terrorists, illegal aliens from all stripes, including in the sports, mostly Mexicans, but certainly other than OTMs all over the place. Let's build that wall. I believe Trump will build the wall, and in spite of all the talking heads on the idiotic media that tells us different. Now, we're going back to James so we can just tie the bow on this fake news thing just a little bit. Go ahead, James.
Mr. Rompel would agree that everybody has to be a citizen warrior in their own way. And you as a citizen, when you hear news, have to keep two things in mind. First thing, he who makes an argument must prove it. His opponent does not have to disprove it. If the man you hear talking can't prove it, then it's not news and it's not truth. The other thing you ought to keep in mind,
I'll agree with that,
is the ladder of believability. The top rung is fact. Did somebody see it, witness it?
Now,
is
you
it
know the liberals don't like facts. We think their ideology is too mired. Our ideology is too mired with facts for them. Don't
then they
you know?
They can move down to the second run, which is analysis, where you look at facts and draw conclusions.
Right?
Do they do that?
Well, I think they look at a set of things that they call facts that aren't facts and do that.
Now
that's what
on,
I think.
Now on there, they're on the third rung, which is pure opinion. It's the op-ed. It's bloviating in the wind with no regard to truth. Would you place the liberals there?
No, because I think they invent things that they call facts and then go, I think there's a fourth category.
There's a fourth rung, and that is called speculation. This is where you get your hopes and your dreams involved and you want something to happen and you speculate the way you think things will turn out. Like I'm sure Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, is in her office right now, thinking about the campaign of 2020 or 2024.
Well, okay, the speculation is the closest to my description.
Well, there's also one other thing,
go ahead,
universal
Tom.
Truth. There's only one version of the truth.
I agree with that, but the liberals don't, and that's what we're talking about.
No, but to your
they
point.
Believe, they not only believe in moral relativism, they believe in factual relativism.
Well, people are making assertions. And any time you make an assertion, what you're saying, James, is anyone can call for evidence to prove the assertion.
Absolutely right.
And you're right on the money about that.
And the last rung is fabrication. And this is where almost all the bloggers are. This is fiction.
This is where the liberals are.
The only difference between Mr. Rompel and the bloggers is that he writes fiction as fiction. They write fiction and tell you it's true.
Okay, now we got to it. Gene, comments before we do our rapid fire.
I think there was an interesting proposal on how to eradicate this fake news, supposedly, by a person on the Sunday morning shows this morning, saying that what should be done is not to worry so much about who posted it originally, but who reposted it or retweeted it or passed it on, knowing perhaps that it was not true or not investigating to see whether it was true.
I see where you're coming from. That's a slippery slope, by God.
Well, it fits the liberals' agenda. That way they can put their propaganda out, and then if it's proven false, it's simply the one who retweeted it or reposted it or passed it on an email or passed it on Facebook. That way they're out of the loop. You have to give them credit. They pre-plan their propaganda like jewels.
They do not give up. And that's where the Republicans could take a lesson from the Democrats. In defeat, they act like they won. And they go out in the media like they're on top of things and they won everything when they just got their butt kicked from here to kingdom come.
Oh, but
literally.
She won the popular vote, remember?
That's debatable, by the way. We'll take that up again. But here's the thing. Let's take a look at the statement that they're all worried about all the generals that Trump is appointing to cabinet positions when Obama has more generals in his cabinet, or did originally, than Trump, at least the same amount as Trump has named so far. It's not the fact they're generals. It's the fact that who these generals are and what they've done that has the left's hair on fire. Now, let's go through these real quick. I would say James Mattis for Secretary of Defense. James Copeland, your thoughts quickly.
Everybody loves Mad Dog. He'll do a great job.
How about you, Gene?
And the troops respect him. So if they respect him, they'll go fight for it.
Tom.
He's the best of the best. He's Marine's Marine and a general's general. He's
not only
warrior.
That, he's one of the most widely read individuals ever to be in any organization.
No, he's a real warrior.
This guy is a scholar. Not only is he a warrior, he's a scholar. He has a huge library of books that he's read all of them. He's an amazing guy. Okay, what do you think about John Kelly? James.
I have no objection to him at all, but the liberals are going to make it tough on him to be confirmed.
What do you think?
Well, the one fortunate thing is the Republicans won the race in Louisiana, so we're now at 52-48, and the liberals can go cry in their own basket of deplorables.
What do you think, Tom?
Well, I'm glad I'm not in the basket of deplorables anymore. I can say that. I'm all for Kelly. Absolutely.
All reports have it that John Kelly is highly competent and qualified for the cabinet post that Mr. Trump wants to install him in. Now, let's go to National Security Advisor General Flint. Your thoughts, James?
He's very, very unpopular with the left, but he does not have to be confirmed because he's an advisor and not in the cabinet. And most people agree that he knows more about intelligence than most people. And Barack Obama's, remember, people didn't put it on his radar, or he didn't see it on his radar, or it wasn't on his radar. For someone to criticize the intelligence community like Barack Obama did, this means you've got to have somebody that will put the stuff on your radar.
Right?
Gee. Well, my reaction to General Flynn is that he actually has probably more intelligence and the ability to gauge the information that he's given than the sum total of those people in intelligence that Obama had in his 8 years.
Tom?
Absolutely on General Flynn. I'm all for it. He's not a mess around kind of guy. He's a good man. He will get the job done. In fact, if you notice, everyone that Trump is putting into position, these are accomplished individuals that actually worked and earned their pay, whatever their station in life was.
Right, and I'm all for Flynn as well. I believe he is a no-nonsense kind of a guy. He's a general's general, and he has a lot of respect from the people that worked with him in the military, as well as he is not a politically correct individual. He will not mince words, and boy, are we highly overdue for individuals like that in our government. Now, one more thing. I have this problem with one of Trump's picks. I do not like this Romney woman being the chief. It's not actually Trump's pick, but he obviously had to agree to her be taking over the RNC. Your thoughts, James? You probably like it.
The Romney woman. I thought you were going to talk about Mitch McConnell's wife.
No, I don't care about her. He did that just to keep an eye on McConnell. Now,
I thought you were going to talk about this woman sent to the UN instead of John Bolton.
No, that hasn't even happened yet.
Well, remember what Romney
said. All
right, said.
We're at 1 minute
Romney
to go.
Had notebooks full of women. This was one of them. She got the job.
I want to thank Tom Rompel for coming up from Tucson. Thank
You're
you, Tom.
You're welcome entirely. Thank you, everybody.
Citizen Warrior of the Fourth Branch. Citizen Warrior of the Fourth Branch. Get the book. Thank you, Gene Daly. Thank you, James Copeland. Thank you, Norm Behind the Glass. And most of all, thank the audience of the Article 5 Hour. Stay tuned for Slam Dog Nation with your host, Patrick, right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. We'll be back next week with, what are we doing next week, Gene? Do you remember? Electoral College Education on the Article 5 next week. Don't miss it. I'm coming home, honey.